Today's Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 61, verse 10 through Isaiah 62, verse 3. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament passage this morning is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one who I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." This is the word of the Lord. When I was a kid, I might not have admitted being scared of the dark, but I remember some odd behaviors of mine. How do you feel about the dark, Annabelle? Sometimes, sometimes not. I noticed when I was a kid, this is what got me thinking about this, and I want to know, Annabelle, if you guys remember doing this yourselves. It seems like, I'm kind of curious how often this happened, but I remember a lot of different instances where I would be someplace, either I'd have to go to my room in a dark part of the house to get something, and there was only lights on where the family was, or if we were out, I remember sometimes when we'd be out camping, for instance, and gathered around a fire, and you have to go get something in the tent or down the road, the car or something, and you're coming back to the gathering of people where there is light, but being in the dark. And I remember a lot of times just taking off sprinting as fast as I could towards the light. Anybody else ever do this? Yes. I mean, I was like, man, I did that. Why was I in the dark that much? I don't know. But I do remember being like, oh, there's light. I'm going for it. Whatever is out there, I don't know, has got less a chance of getting me if I run really fast and get to the light. As adults, we claim not to be afraid of the dark either. And yet, what darkness represents to us as children, I think we are still very much afraid of, even as adults. That darkness is the unknown. Darkness is chaos, disorder. Fear of the dark is probably fear of the unknown, which isn't all that uncommon. Most of us are still afraid of being in the dark, right? Literally, metaphorically. Being in the dark is when we're out of control. Although really, that's just when we know we're out of control, because what we think we know is probably more of a delusion than reality. I love where John starts this gospel of his. Matthew and Luke start with the birth of Jesus. Mark starts with John. John starts with the Word in the beginning, which of course are words we've seen before. You may be familiar with them from Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John starts his gospel way earlier than Jesus' birth. He's starting in the beginning. And instead of saying, in the beginning, God created, John says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And John makes the point that it is through Jesus that everything came into being. Of course, the first three verses of Genesis, they're some of my favorite. They are absolutely profound. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. We skip on to the rest of the story sometimes a little quickly. Do you catch the setting for this story? I mean, Genesis 1 is a beautiful, like I've said this a bunch of times up here. What's the whole point of Genesis 1? God makes something and says, this is good. He makes something else, it's good. He makes humans, this is very good. This is at its core, the Bible starts with an insistence on the goodness of the creation, of the material world, of us. That it is good to be human. It is good to be here on earth. Earth is good. This is good. It is a gift. Where does it start? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty and dark. This story of creation starts in the dark. Without the darkness and chaos, by the way, the Hebrew word there underneath that is tohu vabohu, which is somewhat untranslatable. We don't know. It doesn't occur anywhere else. But it kind of does mean like chaotic, formless void, the void. That in this chaos and void and darkness, which are all things we are still as adults terrified of, right? When we feel like our lives are chaotic, when we feel like things are out of control, when we don't know, we're uncertain, we're in the dark, and we think this is horrible and bad, and we feel isolated and scared and alone. What was the second part of verse 2? This is the situation. The earth is dark and formless and void. Where is God? Hovering is another one of those words that may or may not be a perfect translation. This fluttering presence in the midst of that. Is God separate from the darkness? No. God is there, present, ready to give birth to creation. The first thing the Bible says about God is that God is creative, and darkness is precisely the place that gives birth to light. Verse 3, God says, let there be light. the Word comes and there is light in the darkness shining. But without darkness would we know if there was light? God is not absent from us in the midst of darkness and chaos. This is the powerful insistence of this first story, is that Spirit is there present, hovering in the midst of things we don't understand, can't explain. I love the text from Isaiah that we read today as well. As the earth brings forth shoots, as the garden produces plants, God causes righteousness and praise to spring forth. Did you catch that? This amazing metaphor of, well, where does a seed start? How long does that seed feel like it is buried, dead, and forgotten? How long does it actually have to start pushing cells upward before it starts seeing the light? But Isaiah insists that this is what God is up to, right? This is the beautiful artistic narrative John is using here, is that God creating in the beginning is, of course, what God always does, right? God is creative. John takes Jesus and says, look, Jesus as God is this creative force in the world. It is God being God, just as God was God in the beginning. God is being God in Jesus, creating, bringing light into darkness, bringing God into places where God was apparently not. It is the light coming to the darkness and illuminating everything, because this is what God does. God creates. God calls forth the seeds and the life from the ground, and they produce fruit. And let me read this again. As the earth brings forth shoots, as the garden produces plants, God causes righteousness and praise to spring forth. We often think righteousness and praise are things we need to come up with for God. What is God doing here? Growing praise and righteousness. Where does God grow these things? In us, right? We all know, because we live with ourselves and our thoughts and our brains, that there are areas inside of all of us that are still chaotic and dark. Places where we feel isolated and alone, things that we might wish weren't there. But where is God at work? What do these texts say? That Spirit is present, hovering in the darkness. That those places where we feel isolated and scared or alone are not, in fact, places where we are scared and alone. We might be scared, but we're not alone. That God is present there, ready to bring forth beauty, light, order. Jesus creates life from the beginning. God makes things. God has always been making things. Creation wasn't something that just happened once. Creation is something these authors insist that God is always up to. Creating around us, the soil continues to give birth to life. We humans continue. By the way, where did you start? In the dark. Two cells met, said, hey, what's up? Let's commit to each other. We'll call it a covenant. And they became one. And they started growing in the dark for 9 months. Everything was darkness. And then there was light. And they said, you're here, hooray! We're so glad. This is kind of the pattern of things, the way God created the world, that God continues to bring life and light forth from darkness. This means that maybe we can look at the darkness around us as perhaps the darkness of the womb instead of the darkness of the tomb. Maybe it's hopeful that God is at work in those areas that we can't explain and don't understand and feel out of control. God is, if we know one thing about God, creative. And those places that are dark or blank or unfilled or chaotic are precisely the places where art and beauty and life are created, right? You start writing a story with a blank page. You start painting a picture on a blank canvas. God starts his work in our lives from whatever corner he can. And that darkness is not something that alienates us from God, but precisely the place the light can shine the brightest. John doesn't just say the light shines in the darkness, does he? I like his next sentence. I'm going to have to go back and find it. They moved John out of order. It used to be before Luke, and then in the modern world we put it later, and I'm still confused. He said, the light shines in the darkness that is coming into the world. And he says, the world he created didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, even they rejected him, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. We get to be reborn as children of God. Now, in any context but the last 200 years, this comes with some baggage, as it were, like father, like son. If your father was, hey, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Chuck said, if I'd have known my kids were going to be mechanics, I'd have spent a little more time teaching them mechanics. In any previous world, if you were an electrician, your son would be an electrician as well. It worked out. If your father was a carpenter, you were going to be a carpenter. If your father was a shepherd, you were going to be a shepherd. When you become children of your father, what are you doing? What your father does. There's still very few times in my life that I get as deep a joy as in being able to teach my kids to be able to do something I can do, right? It's even more joyful when they do something better than I can do it or beyond what I can do. But it is so much fun to teach my kids to do something, whether it's riding a bike or looking up at the stars or going for a hike or how to throw a frisbee or shoot a basketball. Or I love watching Abby dance ballet like my wife, Heather. She didn't get the ballet from me. Let's just be clear. It's not something I was teaching her how to do. But it is so much fun to see our kids be able to do things that we teach them to do. When this text says he gave us the chance, the possibility to become children of God, this is not just in name. This is in substance and action. That we, what do we know about God from the text? God is inherently creative. What Genesis 1 starts with, it's what John 1 starts with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything came into being through him. God makes stuff. He creates things. You're going to be children of your Father. You are going to make things, create things, bring light out of the darkness. This is the first thing God does, right? Let there be light. So if we are going to be children of our Father, we too will find ourselves wandering into dark places saying, voila, let there be light. And there was. This is the incredible invitation to us. It is easy for us to be like little kids and run screaming from the darkness into the light. But as we mature and grow older, we start to become like our Father and do the reverse. We move, taking the light with us into the darkness. We take the beauty and the ideas and take those into the chaos and start bringing about order and compassion and wonder and beauty. We get to be children of our Father. How much fun is that? There is nothing better than creating, right? Whatever the thing is, you create. And there's a million ways to do it. watching my kids decorate cookies this last week. They were fully engaged, putting Red Hots. One of them's like, Red Hots are the best. I'm going to cover the entire cookie in Red Hots. Good work. What, like, I'm going to make a cool design and the colored sugar. Like, they're making. Sometimes everything starts with a blank slate, right? A garden starts when you plant a garden and make a garden. You start with empty earth. When you make a meal, you're starting with nothing, with raw ingredients, and you put them together. When you're writing a poem, you're starting out with nothing, just words, and you start rearranging them. When you're making a table, you start out with wood. When you're making a house, you start out with a hole in the ground you can build a foundation on. It all starts ex nihilo, out of nothing. We make and create just like our God. And this is his invitation to us to bring his life and light and beauty into the world around us. Now, I love darkness. In fact, there may be nothing I enjoy more than being in a really dark, clear night and looking up. Because you know what you can see only in the darkness? The stars. They're there right now. Well, there's clouds too, but you know, if the clouds were gone during the day, they're still there. You just can't see them because the star that's closest to us blinds us to everything further away. But there is nothing I love. I love getting out backpacking. And when you're out there and you finally put out the campfire and it's dark and you look up, there are very few times where I feel as deeply connected to God, to the world. In fact, it is only at night in the dark that we actually see the reality of where we are standing and living and breathing, right? During the day, it can feel a lot like this is the center of the world, the universe. But at night, when you look up, I can almost feel the earth spinning, the galaxy turning, hurtling through space, our solar system flying around the center of the Milky Way. You see that Milky Way splashed up there, and you can almost feel how small I am, how big this is, the motion and movement of it all, the awe and wonder and the presence there in the dark is better than anything you get to see in the light. It is in the dark, looking up, that I now feel least alone. Like I said, maybe the darkness around us isn't the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb. Maybe we still are taken care of by our God, who is still about his work of causing righteousness and praise to spring forth from all of us. May our eyes be opened to how God is present and at work in all things. The darkness, the chaos, bringing forth light and life and joy to all of us, God's children.